from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ron, let's go out to the Nemacolin fan hotline. Nemacolin around every corner creates real-life magic for guests, and that's where we find our friend Bob Walk. Brought to you by Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. Also brought to you by Spitzer Acura. Visit them at spitzeracura.com. Bob, we got Mitch Keller on the mound tonight. We have a Pirate team that is struggling real bad here in the month of May. What's been the biggest culprit in your mind?
It's been a lot of everything. I think the thing that seems to be hanging on the best is the starting pitching. It's keeping us in games, giving us chances to win. Of late, you look at this last road trip. Homestand. The thing that was the worst was we're just not playing very clean games. We're, giving extra outs away, making a lot of errors, not making plays that don't go as errors, but, a chance to make a real good play and change the game, and those aren't being done. Making a lot of outs on the bases. We had one game where Box played a big part. Little things like that where I think they come under the title of just not playing, good, clean baseball. I think that if we would have done that during the last homestand, we would have won a couple more of those ball games. And I think that's kind of a reflection on the type of team we are. We don't have monster proven big league talent out there. We have a lot of prospects, guys that we're hoping they'll, turn into real good, strong big league players. But right now there's just a lot of ups and downs. So we get in these stretches where we're not playing real good and we're making mental errors or maybe some physical errors, whether it's running bases or whatever. We really don't cover that up very well. And we end up getting L's because of that. And so I think that's what we're going to be important tonight. You look at the two starting pitchers would be a low scoring game. And usually the winners of low scoring games are the team that don't make all those little mistakes. They don't give away outs on the bases or in the field. And that's something we haven't done well lately. And we need to change that real quick.
Bob, it looks like Velasquez is ready. Luis Ortiz the right guy to come out and go back to the minors to make room for Velasquez?
Well, after his last start, I kind of want to see some more of him. The first couple starts, we talked about this last week. We weren't very well at all. And, what has happened to him? He looked like, a future Cy Young Award winner when we first saw him. He was incredible last season, and just a little short look at him. But then in his last start, man, he went out there and by the end of the game, he was throwing 98 miles an hour and great movement on his fastball. He had good command the whole time until right there at the end. And so you look at what he did in AAA in the minor leagues this season before he got the call up and you're thinking, okay, yeah, this is a guy we need in our rotation. But if you look at the rotation right now with Velasquez coming back and healthy, your choices are, for me, I think your choices are Ortiz or you go to a six-man rotation. And I don't think they're ready to pull the trigger on the six-man rotation. They want to, get everybody I think, a few more innings. And so, yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be Ortiz. But, you know, I keep checking my email all morning this morning because I know you're going to ask this question to see if, you know, they'll send us any, you know, I've been looking at my text to see if there's any hint as to what roster move they're going to make. And so far, I've seen nothing. So the Ortiz is just a guess, but I think it's a good educated guess.
Bob, I think you said last week, correct me if I'm paraphrasing you incorrectly here, that the most important thing when you were pitching, the most important thing you wanted from a catcher was how well they hit. Is that correct?
Hitting and keeping the ball off the backstop.
Okay.
Those two things that's what I wanted. I didn't want balls going to the backstop, and I wanted them to be able to contribute. You know, if giving the choice between two different guys, yes.
So given that, I'm wondering if you're in favor of if one of these guys can give you a good bat, and I'm talking Rodriguez, I'm talking Davis, and even if their catching is a little bit, I don't know what the word would be, immature or somewhat deficient compared to what you have, would you be willing to make that trade? Would you want to see one of those guys up here if they can give you a huge boost offensively?
If they could hold their own behind the plate, and I'm not talking about calling the game. I don't care about that. If they could hold their own defensively, you know, in the old-fashioned way, you know, catching the ball, blocking the ball, you know, quick, accurate throws to second base if somebody's trying to steal, you know, do all the physical defensive things. And they were an improvement on offense, which I think both of them look like they have a possibility of doing. I would, and I won't, and I, to be honest with you, I'll be surprised if Rodriguez is not up here by the, you know, maybe trading deadline or something like that. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for him to have a good, maybe even better than good, start to his AAA season, maybe first half, to really solidify what he has shown them up to this point. You know, a couple MVP, minor league MVPs in two different leagues. So if he can do that, yeah, I think by the end of the season, we'll be seeing him catch a lot for us.
Bob, you talked about mistakes the other day. Bay had two bad base running mistakes. I mean, how does that play in a clubhouse among the players? Why he stopped between second and third and tried to go back. I couldn't believe it gets picked off of first. Those were two big plays in a tight game.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've been talking about. It's like, I don't want to pick on Bay, but, you're right. Those were two big events out there. Now he's trying to, he knows what his best skill is. He knows that his legs are his game. And so he's just trying to show what he can do, and he's not thinking about what the situation is in the game. And when do you take a chance? When is it okay to make an out on the bases, and when is it not? I mean, there's some basic, you know, rules out there that have been there for a long time, and they're in place for a reason. I don't think he's thinking about that. When he sees I might be able to get the third, I'm going to take off. Oh, no, I guess I can't. Oh, they're throwing behind me, I'm out. You know, that all this is going through his mind. None of that should be going through his mind. The decisions on what he's going to try to do out there need to be done before a ball is even put in play. You know, now he still has to read what is happening in front of him, but the decisions whether to take risks or not take risks, those have to already be set in his mind. And, you know, I don't know why this is happening to him. And it's not just him. It's other guys, too, because, you know, they talk about, well, these are, you know, learning experiences. Well, these learning experiences should have been taking place in A-ball, not up here.
Bob Walk on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. Having said everything we've said here, here are the Pirates. What are they, a game and a half out of first place? So when you look at the lineup, and that's been, it's been, well, it's been bad all month long. Where do you see guys, Bob? Which guys do you see where you say, that guy I think will pick it up? Or are they simply not a very good lineup overall? Are there certain guys who can who you say, though, that guy, he's going to get hot?
Well, yeah, I hope Sawinski gets hot. I mean, he's got power and can turn things around for you. That's an area I think we're all looking at and thinking, I hope he gets going here. If Castro could learn to at least hold his own better against right-handed pitchers, I think that would be a big boost. You'd have his bat out there every day. And then when they do bring lefties into the game, man, he's a big force to have to deal with against lefties. He's OPS over 1,100 against those guys. So there are some places you can look at, and there's just two of them. Now, some guys have been around for a while, and I think they have a track record, and you know what they're going to give you. Looking at their age and their stage of the career, basically I'm talking about Kutch and Santana. Connor Joe, I think, falls into that. You know what they have been, and you know what you can expect from them. It's the younger guys, like a Sawinski, like a Castro, that you're just not sure about. And obviously, I think we need to get some more power, I think, in a more consistent way from Reynolds. If you look at his numbers, he's got, he's got a few home runs, but they came so early in the season, and then there was just nothing for about a month. We really rely on him a lot, and he needs to get some balls over the fence, too.
Let me read you Sawinski. I'll just go batting average. I know there's more to a hitter, but the level of concern here. Let's go back to last April. He hit 150. May, 195. Then he had a pretty good June. Then he goes back down in July to 108. Then he goes down to the minors. He comes back in September, hits 193. He finished decently and then had a good first month. And now he's at 150 for a full month of May. Is there going to be an in-between with him? Is he going to be an everyday? Is he going to hit well enough to be an everyday ball player?
That's the big question mark. The only reason, you read off that if he was a batting average guy, he wouldn't even have this much of a chance. But he's looked to be a power type guy that can maybe hit you 25, 30 home runs. And that's why they're having patience with him. Those kind of guys are very hard to find, guys that can hit home runs. So they're living with that poor batting average for a while. And he has gotten to where, if you look beyond the batting average, he's cut down on his strikeouts this year. He has better looking at bats, not so many swings and misses. There are some positives to look at there. But the bottom line is, can he be a run producer and getting the ball over the fence? That's been very streaky. There's times last year we saw where, he can really put us on our shoulder for a while and carry us. But where is that guy right now? It's not there. We're not seeing it, but he's got an opportunity. And, here's the thing, talking about Ortiz and all the young guys, it's where are we at as a team for this season? If you're really thinking, okay, we're a playoff team, we're gonna go to the playoffs this year, you make some different decisions. Or are you thinking, okay, we're going to make some big strides this year, we're going to kick our wins up quite a ways from where it was last year, but we're not really going to compete for a playoff at this time, so we have to make some compromises and live with some lack of production from some of these young guys, just so we know for sure what it is we got or what it is we don't have. And I think with O'Neill Cruz being out for so long and missing his defense at shortstop and his offense for sure, I think has made some of these compromises that I think we're making kind of stand out more than they would have. If you got an O'Neill Cruz in there and he's hitting the ball well, he's a huge difference maker, but he's not there and he won't be there for a while. And so our lack of offense becomes a sore spot. And it is right now. You can't get around it. It is what it is.
Yeah, Bob, I'm a home run guy, and a lack of power on this team. You mentioned Reynolds. One home run since opening day at home. Santana, no home runs, I believe, since opening day at home. Hayes, one home run. All year, those are three power positions that you hope to get some from, and I don't feel good about any of them hitting more. Maybe Reynolds will hit a few, but, I mean, I don't know how you win games with that lack of power.
Yeah, you know, you have to get home runs from Reynolds. That's, I mean, he's a proven commodity in that. Santana, at this point in his career, I don't see him being as a big home run guy. Sawinski, he's shown the ability to hit home runs. We need him to hit home runs. And as I just said, that's what's going on with him. That's why you have all the patience with him, because you need that. Where are you going to find that? And then, as far as Key Bryan, I don't know. Maybe he's just a line drive hitter. The guys that are like that. And the more you try to change him, the worse the batting average starts getting. So, I don't want to see ground balls to the left side of the infield just because he's trying to hit home runs. I'll go ahead and I'll take the line drives into the right center field gap and let the home runs, come or not come. Eventually if you get a third baseman that's a big home run hitter, maybe you have to make some kind of a decision about, putting him in a different position, even though he's a gold glove third baseman. I don't know, because that is a power position. But I'm getting to the point to where I think Key Bryan is the hitter that he is. He hits the ball hard. He plays great defense, but he just is kind of singles and doubles. And that's not a bad thing, but you got to find home runs somewhere else.
Bob, we appreciate the time. We'll talk again next week.
All right, guys.
No birds today or what?
I'm in Seattle. There's just seagulls flying around my hotel window.
I didn't think you were making this trip.
No, my sister lives here in Seattle, so I came out with a day off, and I spent the day with her yesterday.
Okay, good. Now that explains why there's no birds.
Yep.
See you, Robert.
Thank you, Bob.
All right, bye-bye.
Alex Highsmith coming up next. He's going to give us a call. That's the plan anyway, Harry. And, man, that'll be interesting, huh, Ron?
Nice topical guy to have on.
Sixth in the NFL in sacks last year, ahead of Micah Parsons, ahead of Max Crosby, just behind Myles Garrett. People like that, 14.5. That is a giant number. It's the most by a Steeler not named T.J. Watt since Lamar Woodley in 2009, I believe. Some ridiculous number like that. And he's got a contract that's expiring. So let's talk to Alex coming up next on Cookin' Joe. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit him online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. And the time right now is 1:23. Time to call Shenderovich & Fishman. Why pay 40%? When you can pay 25%, call 888-98-TWINS.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Looking forward to this next guest a lot.
Me too. It's Cook and Joe, and we have Steelers linebacker Alex Highsmith on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. Alex, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Doing good. How are you guys doing? Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. We appreciate you taking the time. I know you're very busy. And the first thing we wanted to talk about was the Man Up Project, which is who you're coming on through here. Our friend Matt Cole, our producer, helped to arrange this. What is Man Up all about?
Yeah, so it's an event that Urban Impact has been doing for a while now, and I got involved with it last year. Last year was my first year speaking at it, but it's a men's conference. They've been doing it in Pittsburgh. Like I said, they've been doing it for a few years. And it's just a men's conference to help men become godly men, godly fathers, godly husbands, and so just to be better men overall. So I'm just excited to be able to speak at it, to be able to be there. And so it's going to be a great event. I'm looking forward to it.
This is Mike Tomlin's baby, isn't it? He's very involved in this.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome. You know, it's cool, you know, seeing him, you know, also out there in the community at these type of events, you know, just, you know, pouring into to other men as well. And so, you know, he's always speaking wisdom when he's there. It's just so cool to see someone, you know, like Coach Tomlin be out there and just be, you know, an inspiration to
Alex Highsmith on the Nemecol and Fan Hotline. All right, Alex, let's get to a little bit of football today. Here's the situation. You had a great year. I think most people would agree on that. I mean, there's only a handful of guys in the whole league that had more sacks. And yet, you have people out there saying it's because of TJ Watt. Sometimes your own coach seems to say that. Hey, what does he do without TJ? How do you answer those critics?
You know, I mean, I just try to put my best foot forward out there every day. You know, I just, no matter who's out there, I just try to be the best player that I can be. And so I just feel like I did that last year. And it's awesome, you know, having a guy like TJ, the best in the world at what he does. And so me just being able to learn from him these past couple of years has been amazing. And so we're just continuing to develop our chemistry together. And so I'm looking forward to, you know, this year and you know, how it's going to stand out for the both of us. And so, you know, I can't wait. And I had a good year last year, but I could be far, far, far better. I know I have much more ball left in me, and I can be so much better in so many ways going back watching my film. And so I'm not content. I'm not complacent, and I just don't ever want to be.
Yeah, that's one of the things we were talking about today is we both feel in here that you're still an ascending player. This is only going to be your third year as a full-time starter. And then with the TJ thing, he's unbelievable, but he's not a magician. He doesn't make the left tackle disappear. You still have to go up against premier tackles all the time, yes?
I mean, you know, just going against guys and stuff like that is always a challenge. You know, there's different levels of guys that I go against and stuff like that. And so, but no matter who I go against, you know, I just try to study them and take advantage of them. And that's one thing that you know, I've learned that, you know, Coach Dunbar, Coach Martin, TJ, and a bunch of the guys in the room have helped me to be able to distinguish what guys do. So, like, how guys set, whether they a vertical set or their spot set or how they shoot their hands. So just really trying to work different moves on different guys is something that I've tried to learn and something that, you know, all of them have helped me with.
Alex, you've chosen to show up for work. A lot of guys in your position maybe wouldn't, or at least wouldn't go through the drills. And I don't know what your plans are for training camp. You saw, you know, Minka kind of sit in and TJ kind of sit in. How do you look at that as you wait to do a contract?
Yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm just, you know, right now I'm just, you know, here to work. I'm here to get better, perfect my craft. And that's just how I've always been. It's just always the mindset that I've had. I know I'm in a unique situation right now, but, you know, just coming in, that's just always how I've been. You know, I was a walk-on in college, and so working hard and earning what has been given to me, what I've been blessed with is just something that, you know, I always want to do. I always want to work, and so I'm just, you know, optimistic that something's going to get done. And so I'm just looking forward and, you know, hope it's able to get done before training camp.
So you guys are talking, and is it progressing in a way where you're optimistic then, it sounds like, yes?
Yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic. Don't know where it's all at right now, but just like I said, optimistic, and I want to be in Pittsburgh. I want to be here, and so I really hope something works out because I love playing here. I love playing for this defense. I love, you know, the guys that I play with. I love the coaches I play for. So, yeah, I want to be here for a long time.
Alex, everybody feels good about OTAs the first week. You're 0-0. Everybody's 0-0, and everybody thinks it's going to be a great season. Is it a legit feeling for you guys? You finished strong last year, didn't quite make the playoffs. I mean, how good do you think this team can be?
We can be great. I truly believe we're cooking up something special. And, you know, just like always, the Super Bowl is the goal. And so I think we got a good group of guys this year. Bunch of guys coming back, bunch of new guys that we brought in that have been awesome so far. And so it's awesome seeing a bunch of guys, almost the whole team in the building right now. You know, for OTAs, it's just awesome seeing the chemistry that we're developing and the work that we're getting in together. So I just truly can't wait for the season to start, and it's going to be a special one. So I can't wait.
Alex Highsmith on the line. You say you can be way better. Do you have a number in mind? Does that mean sacks? Does that mean all-around game? What do you mean by that?
I mean, I definitely want to surpass what I got last year. So surpassing 15, last year my goal was, you know, surpass 10 or 12. So this year I want to surpass what I did last year and just continue to play the run and continue to just, you know, refine and work my moves. Cause like I said, there were some games, you know, where I could have been a lot more productive, and there's some times where I missed sacks that I should have got them, or you know, just was stuck on linemen for too long during some rushes. So I just want to always get better. No matter how I play in a game, whether it's no sacks, one sack, two sack, three sacks, no matter how I play, I just want to always feel like I can do more and can get better. Because like I said, I don't want to get content or complacent.
You know, sacks are sexy. That's what you get paid. But you get a lot of high marks for playing the run, and that's just that is very important too, isn't it?
Oh, it is, especially in our division, the AFC North. This is definitely the most physical division in football, and playing a run is so important because, you know, it's a big part of the game. I know, you know, a lot of different game than it used to be and stuff with the passing stuff-wise, but it still comes down to being physical and getting off blocks and tackling. That's fundamental football. If you can't get off blocks and you can't tackle, you know, then you can't play. And so that's something I just want to be known for, some guy who, you know, plays hard, who plays physical, who gets off blocks, you know, and who brings guys down, you know, in the backfield.
It's one thing to sack him. It's another thing to get the ball loose. And there was one guy in the whole NFL, and that was Haason Reddick, who's pretty good, who had more forced fumbles than you last year. Alex, is there an art to that? Is it sometimes just the luck of the draw, or how does that come out?
Yeah, I think it just starts with preparation and practice. It's something I've been working on for a long time. It's not done overnight. So just, you know, every pass rush that I do, an individual, and, you know, in team when I'm near the quarterback, just working on reaching my right arm and acting, just doing the motion like I'm swiping down the ball. I know he can't touch the quarterback in practice, but just getting that muscle movement and that muscle memory of me coming down on the ball is so important, because most QBs I play, they can't see me on the side that I come off. And so just continuing to rep that and practice on every single rep, like I said, during an individual, finishing on the bags, just finishing with a reach with my right arm like I'm reaching for the ball. And so it's just so important to continually practice that, because it becomes muscle memory.
You know, Cam isn't getting any younger, but he seems to keep getting better, doesn't he? What do you see when you look at him?
It's just the way he works. You know, he's one of those – he's a true stealer. You know, he's a hardworking dude, and he's been like that since he got in the league. And it's been cool for me just to see that a lot this offseason. I've been up here in Pittsburgh working out with him a lot, and so just seeing how he works. And there's a reason that he is still playing like he is in the year that he's playing now. And so because he takes care of his body well, so he does all the things that makes him a true pro. And so you know, I just try to, you know, be around guys like that, you know, who really take what they do seriously.
Last question, Alex. Kenny Pickett, everybody who's over there says, you know, this looks like a different guy, which you'd expect. He wasn't even the starter last year this time. But what do you see there when you look across the line of scrimmage?
I see continued growth, man. Just, you know, getting to know Kenny this past year. I know that he's driven. You know, he's determined, and he's going to lead this team to great things. And so just seeing how he started to gel with the offense this year, you know, taking on that role from the start, because I know last year he came in, he wasn't the starter. So now just being the starter through OTAs and just developing you know, that chemistry with the offense, it's going to be something special, because he's a competitor. And so I just can't wait to see what he does.
Ron, I thought of one more question I have to ask.
Go ahead.
I have to, Alex. Darnell Washington, Mount Washington, have you lined up against this guy? What's the deal with him?
Yeah, no, he's a beast for sure. You know, we ain't got pads on yet. Haven't really hit anything yet, but you know he's gonna be really good for us, especially in the run game. You know, he can run routes and catch too. You know, he's definitely big tight end for sure. So he's gonna add a lot of value to our offense. You know, I can't wait to see what he does.
Alex, we appreciate the time. And again, it's the Man Up event, and we really are thankful that you joined us today. Thanks, man.
Stay healthy, man. Yes, good luck.
Yeah, will do. Thank you, guys.
How about that, Ron? He wants to get 50. He's got it. Most guys you ask that question, like, no, I don't write down numbers.
I think
they all do.
I think we had him on last year at this time before the same event.
Yeah.
And I think he said he wanted double-digit sacks. And I remember going up to him in the locker room after the first, what do you have, three? The first game against Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Against Joe Burrow. And I go, man, you're a third of the way to your 10 sacks already. I got to keep them coming. Got to keep them coming. He ended up going 14 and a half.
You're right. He joined us on June 10th. I'm looking it up right now, of last year, just
right
about 1 year
time.
Ago.
Yep. And it was tied into the Man Up event. He was going to it for the first time. That's Tomlin's baby.
Yeah.
It's like a men conference.
Well, he's got 15 or more on his mind this year. And you know what? I think he's going to get them. I think this guy's is going to be a star. I really do. I think he's still growing so much as a player. It's his third year as a full-time starter. Just his third.
And he played at Charlotte. He didn't play at Alabama or Michigan or Ohio State. He played at a lower level. He is still learning his craft.
And it's beautiful. He just talked about how he likes to attack quarterbacks with that sort of karate chop. And the story in the Post-Gazette, there's a photo of him last year against the Saints and Andy Dalton with his arm chopping right down on Dalton's throwing arm. There is an art to that. When you're coming from the blind side, man, five forced fumbles, you won't find a lot of seasons in Steelers history where guys got five or more forced fumbles. That is a ton to get.
Sure is.
Dupree had eight in his whole career, Ron.
You're absolutely right, though. It is a craft. There's a science to it.
What's T.J. Watt's high on that, I wonder? Forced fumbles. Oh, my God. He's had 6 and 8 and 7 and 7. Wow. So between those two guys, even though T.J. hardly played last year, between them, they had 10 forced fumbles. I love the idea of those two as bookends.
They both help each other. You know, yeah, there's no doubt TJ's a big part of Highsmith's success, but I think Highsmith is a big part of that success too.
Let's wrap it up next with our weekend predictions with Cook and Joe. Social media's biggest loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. So we just revert to Mulsey?
No.
You got one?
Let's give it to Le'Veon today just for,
Le'Veon
admitting he's got high before every game and wants to come back and play again for the Steelers. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, man. That was a great interview. All right. That Le'Veon did, I'm talking about. And it was a great interview with Highsmith. I really enjoyed that. Let's wrap it up next with What's Cooking.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's Cooking brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. What's Cooking also brought to you by Mr. Reuter.
Thank you, Mr. Reuter.
Call 412-REUTER-2 and Fan Weather comes to you via Sun Chevrolet. Sun's shining, spring's here. Time to get a great deal on Silverados in Colorado. Stop in and online at sunchevy.com. Beautiful today. 75, a little overcast tomorrow, high 78. Ron?
Joe, I have an appearance this afternoon. I'm going to be at Moon Beer and Pop for Less, located right across the street from Robert Morris. I'll be there from 5 to 7. Stop by at Moon Beer and Pop for Less to see me 5 to 7. And I want to take a quick moment to wish a good happy birthday to a real good friend of mine, Ed Hobrick, a big shot at sales at Yingling. Birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday to one of the great men I know, Ed Hobrick.
Happy birthday, Ed. Who has a better chance to come back from 3-0, Ron? Your Dallas Stars or your Boston Celtics? The Celtics have one more in the bag here.
They have one in the bag. I got to think. Who did I see? One of the Celtics said, "Don't let us get another one."
Oh,
because then it's back to Boston for Game 7.
I'm fascinated with comeback stories.
I don't think Vegas can lose a 3-0 lead. But it's happened in hockey occasionally.
It has.
It's never happened in the NBA.
That's right. That's why I'm extra interested. Thank you, Ron. See you Monday.
You have a great weekend. You're not here Monday. You got the Memorial Day off. I will be here with your friend Robert Pompeiani if he finds time for me. And then we'll reconvene here Tuesday morning at 10.
Good night, Nikolai. Wonderful job this week, Harry.
Great job. Tremendous.
Thanks.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.